Hello, grandkids, and welcome to the 456th edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is happening, sir?
Oh, not a heck of a lot, Kevin. It was probably a busy couple of days of wrestling news on Sunday and Monday. Today was a little bit quieter.
Can only be so much news going on in that department. There is still a lot, but, as you alluded, I guess I did not think about the fact that the All-In tickets went on sale on Mother's Day.
No, and I was thinking that that would mean at least they would go a little bit slower, but I am glad I was the one on top of those things, because I think that I don't want to speak of anyone else in our ticket group, but I think I had the least amount going on Sunday afternoon to make sure that I was right there when they went on sale. I mean, who could have predicted what happened there?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, at least some, which I'm not surprised, were bought by resale companies. I believe, but Jeremy was wondering why it, it's basically an ROH show. Or an ROH New Japan crossover show with a couple of extra indie guys thrown in there.
Right, correct.
I love that it's drawn that much, but it's kind of strange that, ROH can't draw that much.
That is strange with being owned by the largest television distributor in the U.S., by having national syndicated TV. Yeah, they did come close, and you know what? Same people who are going to be headlining All In or headlining for ROH, they're headlining or semi-headlining for New Japan. So I guess more crowds like these are possible, but I mean, for what Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks accomplished is nothing short of amazing. I mean, they hustled this thing. It was, almost completely viral buzz. I know there was a billboard went up in Chicago, and they got some nice little write-ups in local Chicago papers and radio and maybe some television. But I have believe that the vast majority of tickets went to out of towners who will be traveling. So that is a almost completely viral, sensation there.
I guess to me that's the one thing I like about Chicago. Obviously, more central for my person than say California, where the Young Bucks hail from. And quite honestly, Chicago's a shorter trip than Atlanta. Although I don't remember Atlanta. Was Atlanta on the list?
It might have been. It definitely might have been. But no, Chicago has been, in many ways, the best city for wrestling, and WWE in particular, for most of the last 20 years. I mean, you could say New York, but for consistent, great crowds, sellouts, hot crowds, Chicago has probably had more, big memorable events than just about any city, except maybe New York. But I think that Chicago gets the edge as far as having better shows with better crowds.
I guess that is something that maybe the WWE pays a little more attention to New York than it does to Chicago. But, I consistently love the Chicago crowd.
Yeah, it is. So. They definitely picked the right location to do it. I would say that, you know, the majority of tickets were bought by out-of-towners, but I'm sure that there was a pretty good local buzz going and some, and I haven't seen any percentages broken down, but I imagine a number of locals, a strong percentage or fraction of the tickets sold also would have gone to locals. I haven't seen a number over 10% for tickets on StubHub and other resale sites, so that's a victory. I do know that, I believe Meltzer said that the average for a big WWE show is 30% ends up going on the resale market.
Oh. I guess I'm surprised that people get that much for them.
Well, they try, and sometimes they take a bath on them. A lot of times you'll look around a show that's supposedly sold out and see a lot of empty tickets. Because those tickets on the secondary market didn't move, and I don't understand why you wouldn't do a crazy markdown in the last week or two, but apparently some tickets just get eaten.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird. I guess that's one of those ones where that's the price of doing business. Like, they probably only need to sell X number of them, and that's why they buy such a large quantity. So they probably break even at the worst.
But, yeah, and I believe in this one, they were definitely allowed, the tickets that did go to... let's call them what they are, scalpers. They were able to grab large lots of tickets because the event used the Sears Center's own ticket selling system, which would be significantly more primitive than, say, Ticketmaster. So I think they were able to grab, eight or more, in a row tickets. Now, granted, I'd like to say that I'm not going to demean anything about what the Young Bucks and Cody accomplished. It doesn't appear to be over 10%, so maybe 1,000 of the 10,000 plus tickets. I hope those tickets are able to move, because it would be a shame for them to sell those many tickets, but then not have
a full crowd
actually in the building.
Yeah.
Because the demand was high enough that, those thousands of tickets or whatever it was, or thousand tickets give or take, they would have gone without the resellers. There were enough people, expressing disappointment that
tickets
would have gone to real fans.
Yeah, the amount of time that it took to sell all 10,000, and if 90% of them were real sales, I mean, what, it was like 26 minutes or something?
Yes, I think it was 29 minutes.
29, yeah.
Just absolutely crazy. I mean, they did such an amazing job hyping this they announced a roster, although possibly not a complete roster. I haven't looked at how many... exactly how many wrestlers are on the show, and tried to piece together how many matches there would be. Cody has said that the show will not be a 5-hour marathon, thankfully.
Yeah, I approve of that message. Although someone did note that it starts at 6 p.m. Central.
I don't know. I guess we'll see about that. Maybe 6 p.m. might just be when the doors open. Start time or something like that. I haven't exactly seen that. I haven't seen that for sure, but actually I have tickets.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought I saw online. I'm sure I have that picture of the tickets that you sent.
Yeah. I'll look at it real quick. Oh, no, it is a 6 p.m. start time with doors opening at 4. Dang. Okay. Well, you know what that might be for, that to try and get the, if they're going to live stream it at 7 p.m. on the East Coast.
Oh, right.
So, but I mean, we'll already be in town. It's not. It's not like that's an inconvenience or anything.
No, it will not change anything all that much for us.
Yeah, no, and that just means the show will end earlier in the night, so we can go to the bar afterwards.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and I'm not going to argue with that. A night out in Chicago is not something that is a bad thing. Even when I got stranded in Chicago, I had a good time. So I'll put it that way.
Oh yeah, it's a great town. And even if, you know, for anyone out there listening who's attending, if you don't even want to, you know, other than if you're driving in, you know, you really don't even have to spend any time in the actual big city. The northern suburbs have a lot to do, a lot of places to eat, a lot of places to drink. It's a really cool vibe. It's like mini Chicago. It's like a miniature Chicago up there.
Yeah, because it is kind of on the west side. Yeah. I think I mentioned it, and I looked again. I'm like, oh, Oak Park's right there. And Frank Lloyd Wright has a number of houses that he did in that area, so I might wander over to one or two of those if I get the chance. So yeah, there is definitely some stuff to do on that part of town, because yeah, you're not really downtown, or it's not downtown at all.
No, it is not downtown. The only thing downtown is if anyone would want to go to the meet and greet with CM Punk at the 1 hour tea store, which is definitely a very, very interesting bit of marketing there by the 1 hour tea spokes and CM Punk himself.
Yeah.
But of course, the show is sold out without him being officially announced in any capacity, whether he shows up or not. I think anyone who is disappointed with the show for that reason, that would be very unfair, because it really can't be. You can't be blaming the promoters for not delivering something that wasn't advertised.
Well, and who still is also under contract to the UFC?
Yep. Until after June.
Is June when his contract is up?
Well, he's got a fight.
Oh, okay.
That's right. He's fighting. What's that guy's name then?
Well, for some reason I thought he had a 3-fight deal, and that would only be fight number 2. So
I think it's two. I don't believe that they stretched it to 3 for one Mr. Punk.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely an element of will he or won't he show up here that adds intrigue here. They announced Rey Mysterio to perform at All In, so that's probably the biggest name yet added to the show. Obviously, I mean, other than Rey and Cody, I've never seen any of these people live. I'm certainly excited to see Okada and Omega, you know, even the Bucks to a certain extent. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing many of these people. Many of these wrestlers in action for the first time.
Yeah, live. I know that I had a chance to see a few of them. Ring of Honor does come around here on a regular basis. I'm glad I didn't go, because we had just, I think, oh, it was the Sunday after WrestleMania that it was in town here, and that was just kind of bad timing. I was a little wrestled out at that point.
Oh, I understand.
Plus, I had done the NXT, well, both NXTs, both locally and down there. So, yeah. And plus, Sunday night was not a convenient night, in my opinion. Like, any other day of the week, I might have been more interested. Like, a weekday would have been more interesting to me. But anyway, yeah, I have not seen a lot of these guys perform live either, I guess is what I was going to get around to. So, it'll be pretty fun to watch some of these guys. I mean, I've seen, I think we've talked about the New Japan. It's been the last couple of like 4 or 5 years that I've watched at least Wrestle Kingdom. So, it's going to be cool to see some of these guys because, and I guess that is one thing, though Ring of Honor comes here on a regular basis, they do not normally have any of their special events here. No War of the Worlds or anything. They seem to have those in kind of established spots outside of Super Card of Honor, which, follows WrestleMania.
True. I'm also in the Detroit market. They use the city of Royal Oak as they've begun using Royal Oak as their and the Royal Oak Music Theater as their regular location for Ring of Honor shows that I'd say probably come to town about maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Never once again, never one of their tentpole shows, as you said. They usually save those for New York, Chicago. They really like going to Las Vegas for them. At least I believe the anniversary show has been pretty annual in Las Vegas, annually in Las Vegas.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because they've had a very Las Vegas theme the last few years that I can definitely recall. That was the other reason why I just wasn't that big on it. Although they did record some stuff for Honor Club here in Columbus. So, but I would imagine that most of their house shows will end up getting some similar treatment because what else do they have to show? I mean, there's plenty to show, but I would think that that would benefit them to have those types of events. But yeah, I guess one of the reasons I did tell Jeremy is that Ring of Honor to me still has a little bit of a bad ring to it because it wasn't really until maybe about 6 months ago that they started putting production value into their TV show. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily their fault, but I still didn't understand why Sinclair bought them and then essentially didn't do anything to help them out to make the product look better. But I do think that they've added enough that thing it does look better. In New Japan, they have their own way of presenting things, but I think that that's that'll probably bleed into what happens at All In, and so will the WWE. I mean, obviously, Cody got a lot of training there.
Oh yeah, well, come on now. He got I'm sure he got most of his training and probably before he graduated high school.
Oh.
I'm sure he learned everything he needed to learn about wrestling and promoting and booking from his dad. And interestingly, he has put himself in a situation where he will be in a match for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. That's a very interesting kind of deal there with the involvement of Billy Corgan and having him at the press conference to announce that. Although, just saying that Cody will challenge for the title, not saying that he will face the current champion, Nick Aldis slash Magnus, who was Magnus TNA. So it makes
Oh.
you wonder if the title will end up and that the title itself will end up on someone else, possibly someone who's already advertised for the show.
Oh, gotcha.
But also, as much as I think I'm sure Cody will push the hell out of him, the idea of himself going for the title his dad won 3 times. Everyone knows that, the NWA ain't what it used to be. And
No, it is not.
so this might be Cody kind of taking a step back and not booking himself in the main event of his own show.
Yeah, like you said, I guess it's largely symbolic. And if he wins it, I don't know what good it does him. You know, he's already been Ring of Honor champion, which is a bigger crown.
It is indeed, but once again, he does a lot of things that he feels honors his father. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know. No other matches have been announced or even ended for. They got a lot of talent to mix and match and have fun with. You could go with things like you could do Okada versus Omega for the first time in the U.S., or you could, you know, do weird matches that will never happen anywhere else with mixing and matching guys like Omega and Okada with the other talent on the show. Yeah, a lot they can do.
Yeah, it's really wide open as far as what they will decide to do. I mean, they do have at least four women on the bill. Because I know that Chelsea Green is there, and I'm trying to think of there's another one that I know.
Let me look.
So,
right there. Sorry, those folks.
No, sorry for you. Trying to bring quality product. Yeah, I know that there are a few women. So,
there's Tessa Blanchard.
Oh, you
said, Chelsea Green.
Yep.
Britt Baker. And I believe Santana Garrett. And, of course, Brandi Rhodes.
Well,
who may or may not be wrestling, as she has recently undergone shoulder surgery, which I did not know how serious it was.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. I feel like, well, actually, sometimes I forget how far in the future this is in some ways. This isn't quite planning for WrestleMania, but this is a number of months away.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's still, you know, over three and a half months away, just shy of 4 months. So yeah, we're talking about this trip and doing this and going to the show, and that's at the end of the summer. We got a lot of time left.
Yeah, so, you know, she may recover, and we don't really need to know how the show is going to be booked at this time. So I guess we can move along to something that did actually take place this week that did involve matches. Well, no, it didn't involve a match. It is definitely something that, to me, I did not watch the Nia Jax Ronda Rousey confrontation when they threw it up on Twitter, but I did watch it during Raw. And boy, that was awkward.
Awkward, cheesy, yeah. Let's keep throwing the adjectives there, yeah. It's out of the blue. It's sudden. It was done in a venue that was antiseptic.
Yeah, there was no crowd to react to it.
Yeah,
because it was really just Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Ronda Rousey looking at a camera together. Like, I know that they were at an event.
I mean, I get why they did it the way that they did it. They wanted all those media types there, and for the announcement to get out to the mainstream media first.
Oh yeah,
which is understandable. Ronda Rousey, you know, being such a huge name, and just having her in an event like that, representing their television product, it is good for business. We have brought up since WrestleMania that it feels like Ronda Rousey has been spinning her wheels, that they have had She hasn't been used to up to her level of importance. But putting her against Nia Jax for the title right away, that is definitely it's an interesting decision to make.
Yeah, it's definitely one where I guess it's a nice feather in the cap of Nia Jax that if she wins, but you know, everyone will chalk it up to Rousey's inexperience. Anyway, you know,
yeah, you could say that, but you certainly, I don't think you want Rousey to lose to anyone clean. They're just in a tough spot with Ronda Rousey, so I understand every argument, except there's one argument I don't understand. The people who say that she doesn't deserve it. Wrestling isn't real, people. There's no such thing as deserve. Hell, UFC hands out title shots to big names who've been gone for a while, or even, you know, or what have you. And boxing will do the same thing. It's all about money. And the Leaf right now did feel that the best short-term business move would be to just skyrocket Ronda Rousey right to a women's championship match. I assume they're gonna, you know, really start pushing it as the main event and have it go on last. The biggest question is Ronda Rousey ready for it? You know, physically with her in-ring skills, and from a storytelling standpoint, are they blowing their wad too far?
Yeah, I mean, they're all valid questions that, you know, you don't want to judge things before they happen, but I honestly don't see a whole lot of upside to them going with this right now.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna have a group of friends over, and you know, we're gonna, you know, Ronda Rousey's a big mainstream star, and so people will swing by who don't usually swing by to watch wrestling with us. there is, I guess, the upside there. It will definitely get a lot of attention. I mean, when it comes to Rousey, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't, no matter what they do, because you can make a strong argument for, you know, her needing to learn how to work, and having her, you know, in storyline terms, you know, work her way to the top, not in real life terms that, you know, deserve a title shot, but in like storyline terms for her character to deserve a title shot. But there's also the element of she's a huge star. They're paying her a lot of money. Are you really getting the most out of your investment with her if she's wrestling Mickie James and Natalya in the mid-card without the title at stake?
I mean... It's kind of interesting because I guess they're not going to get any... I don't think they're going to get any new viewers with Rousey not as champion. Whether Rousey drags people in as champion is something else, I suppose.
That is the thing. It does kind of feel like maybe they're going to do this in reverse. First she wins the title, then she starts running through the rest of the women's roster in title defenses as a champion, where you can, you know, really put her on a pedestal and, you know, make what she's doing feel more important than if it's not for the title. So that I get. I don't think there's much doubt that they are certainly, they're sacrificing the best thing for storytelling, which is, you know, the new hotshot, you know, star working her way to the top for short-term business gains.
Yeah, and
that could learn that could also lead to long term. I shouldn't say that it's not like it's likely to something likely to burn out, but I mean the title chase, the slow burn is pretty much almost always best.
I mean the good thing for her is that there is a lot of talent around that they can eventually introduce as opponents.
Absolutely. So it's just either way, you know, she works her way to the title or she wins the title immediately and then starts working her way through the roster. Either way could have worked, but once again, WWE wants to get the most out of her as quickly as possible, which is their money. So and it's a lot of money, so I totally understand that.
Oh, yeah. So, I would think was the biggest news on Raw there.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, Jeremy thought that show was the cure for insomnia.
It was not the most exciting show, for sure. After the first match. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens had a very, very good match. And maybe it's almost becoming mundane and pedestrian for Seth Rollins to have very, very good matches on TV.
he is definitely doing the same thing that John Cena did not so long ago, Mojo Rawley was not a good opponent, but Kevin Owens certainly is, so that makes things really easy. When you have a very good opponent. The funny thing was, is I was still drawn to Rollins so much, I'm like, oh, I can't believe that Rollins is, like, going this well right now.
Yeah, he is on another level. I would go as far as say he has absolutely replaced AJ Styles as the most consistent in-ring performer in the company. He is just having good to great matches every time out, even that match with Mojo Rawley was it may have been below par for Seth, but it was probably Mojo Rawley's best singles match ever by a wide margin.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, again, so Seth's on a pretty big roll right now. So again, that was certainly the highlight of the show, and yeah, everything from then on. I mean, not a lot that was actively bad. Well, maybe we get something that wasn't the greatest, but potentially bad later. But you know, they continued the no focus. The show was on, you know, Money in the Bank qualifying matches. They got three more names into, you know, both matches.
I guess is it worth going through those? Because the first of which would be Bobby Roode, which I am at least glad that he was not referred to as a young man.
not this week. Somebody finally corrected Michael Cole on that one. But yeah, that match was maybe the... I guess we'll run down the show, but it might have been the closest thing to being actively bad. No Way Jose has absolutely no hope on the main roster. Baron Corbin, you keep hearing the rumors that they see a lot in him. The booking does not showcase that in the least, and really Bobby Roode was the only hope in that match to actually go into Money in the Bank and actually do something worthwhile.
Yeah, that was one of the few matches where I'm like, oh, I could see them going one way or the other with this for a lot of these qualifying matches, but this one it's just like, oh my god, yeah, Bobby Roode's winning this one. just because Corbin already cashed in and lost, it would be pretty strange for him to get it. I guess it would be kind of interesting if you did feel like giving it to him, if he wanted to go with the redemption and he wins it this time. Although having someone fail multiple times would be, well, A, it would be damning. You never want to be on a losing streak. That's why I felt at least marginally better about Becky Lynch this week. I know that's moving over to the other brand.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's
but I will say that, you know, a losing streak gimmick is rarely a good thing unless there is a somewhat quick turnaround. And I don't know if Becky Lynch getting a spot in the Money in the Bank match is a complete turnaround, but it's good that she's involved in the match.
Yeah, it's good that she's involved in the match. She's still, you know, one of the best women, you know, working women, and, you know, from a character and personality standpoint, you know, in the whole company. She's, you know, she seems to go through these periods where she is marginalized to a degree. So it'll be good for her to have the Money in the Bank showcase.
Yeah. Because that's definitely one thing with to hop back to Rude. Like, I don't see it being his briefcase to win.
No. I don't see that at all. But if he were to win it, it would be a great impetus for him to make a heel turn down the line, which he desperately needs at this point.
Yeah, well, it was kind of hard to say anything about the fans since they were kind of terrible on Raw. And really SmackDown for the most part.
Yeah, but, yeah, well, what happened to those UK crowds being so rowdy?
Well, they're finally realizing that they get garbage shows most of the time. I mean, it actually, you said it earlier, they're not garbage, they just kind of play it safe when they're over there.
Yeah, like, yep, that is definitely true. It's been a long time since they had a truly memorable show, you know, TV episode done over there. But, hey, they still got their money, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I did find it to be one of the more endearing things on Raw that the newly minted B team pulled out of Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel pulled out a win on Breezango. Just the reaction on Curtis Axel's face after the victory was worth the price of admission. The look of disbelief even on his face was hilarious. But they won't have much to do, I don't think, ever, other than being a somewhat comic relief, B-team. But it's still kind of a funny gimmick to have.
Yeah, it definitely worked this week. They had some good stuff. You know, it's comedy fodder stuff. You know, I don't see them making it to the tag team championships, and you know, pretty much ever. So they got one of the few rises out of the UK crowd that was gotten all night. So you know, fair play to them.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the rest of this, and
well, I guess we can move on, because we can then transition to the other men's Money in the Bank match. The worst written babyface of all time, one Mr. Roman Reigns. He was a dick all night. He attacked a man twice. Nothing good going on there.
Actually, him being a dick might be an improvement in the long run.
Oh, it absolutely would be an improvement in the long run, but there's he's still very, very miscast right now. Feud with Jinder Mahal, I know what they think. They're going to put him against the evil foreigner, that he might actually get cheered. That's not what's going to happen. Either the crowd is going to cheer for Jinder Mahal, or they're going to hate both of them in Chicago.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it's the latter. In this case, just because, I mean, I definitely think that Jinder has improved, but I still don't care about him that much.
No, and I just don't see these two physically matching up well. There's just something about this match, and although their brawl backstage, it was okay, but their match, their match at Money in the Bank will likely not, take place backstage with all those toys at their disposal.
Oh, right. Yeah, I still feel like Jinder's a little stiff in the ring.
That's an understatement.
And I guess it'll be an interesting thing. Reigns has been in there with a lot of great wrestlers in his matches. He will not be able to say that when he steps in there with Jinder Mahal. So things could get tricky in that department. Or, if Reigns pulls a good match out of Mahal, all compliments to him.
Actually, it would be a feather in his cap. But the repeated injuries to Jinder Mahal led to an opening in the final Money in the Bank qualifying match, which ended up being filled by Kevin Owens, who, after his clean pinfall loss to Seth Rollins, or for the Intercontinental Champion early night, called and complained to Stephanie McMahon, and wormed his way into yet another another opportunity to get into Money in the Bank. So I did like that. I like that the heel can lose completely clean and still claim that there's some kind of conspiracy against him and get himself and worm his way into another good situation. That match, I guess that match was fine. Nothing to write home about.
Oh. No, it wasn't. I really think that it would help Lashley if he had a feud and not still all this weirdness going on with him being involved with multiple persons in matches.
Oh, they're putting him in a feud, all right. With one Mr. Sami Zayn, who not only cost him his Money in the Bank qualifying match, but promised to next week bring his sisters to Raw to tell the truth about Bobby Lashley. Sami Zayn can be very good, even if the material is questionable. But so much will depend on the quality of I would assume the three actresses they're going to bring to Raw next week. WWE does not have a great track record with segments such as these over the years.
No, I would have to say that it was downright terrible. Even the most famous segment, or the most watched segment ever, I still happen to think it was trash, but, the acting for This Is Your Life Rock left a little something to be desired on the part of the actors and actresses.
Yeah. It went too long. It didn't have a point. Although they did learn all of those lessons when they did do the Festival of Friendship with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
Oh.
But that was those two guys being very creative themselves and working with Jimmy Jacobs, who's something of a creative genius in his own right, who of course is no longer with WWE, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
When they try to play things for blatant comedy, more times than that over the years. They've fallen on their face.
Excuse me. Yeah. That was definitely one of those segments that I was just like, oh man, I feel bad for Sammy. This can't be saved right now. He's been great as the annoying heel, but even he couldn't overcome the albatross hung around his neck on that one.
You know what? But Sami Zayn is good enough that this won't hurt him.
Oh, no.
This will only hurt Bobby Lashley, who is just getting nothing. You know, really no creative support. He has dull, boring entrance music. He's just getting nothing from WWE brass to reintroduce him to the masses and set him up for anything going forward. He was put in a match that, you know, even though he wasn't pinned, he still lost. He's barely been back for a month.
And half of the matches he's been in on Raw, he's been teaming with Braun Strowman, so he's had to sell.
That's true too.
Yeah,
that is very true. He has not looked. He has not been in a good position to. Has not been in a position to look good. It's like he is a signing that, you know, was Triple H's idea, but Vince still holds a something of a grudge from Lashley burning out or flaming out, you know, 10 years ago, and is still scared to push him. I'm just throwing that speculation out there.
It's something, because it's kind of it's been long enough, you know, that you would think that. Well, it is, again, at least a move in the right direction to put him in a feud instead of all this weird randomness that he's been involved in since popping on. But, yeah, it really isn't the, you know, he's beating an opponent who is much smaller than him.
That's true, too. And he's got a sell for him. And Sami Zayn's got to take the majority of the match for it to even, you know, be competitive. I don't foresee good things for Lashley on this run.
Yeah,
based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's the inevitable, someone like, you know, and I know they don't have him around anymore, but Mark Henry was always a big guy to take a loss. You know, Big Show was in that category a lot. You know, at least if Lashley was facing someone like that, it'd be fine. But that is not the case. So Sami Zayn is a smaller opponent. Not really looking forward to that. that covers Raw, I think, for the most part.
There's one more thing to talk about with Raw. It's simply just Alexa Bliss getting her Money in the Bank contract, her Money in the Bank opportunity after winning a triple threat match. So both Sasha and Bayley are not going to be a part of the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh, yeah, I did forget about that. I guess it's kind of interesting that it certainly doesn't seem like they are going to feud. Again, like, it seems to have been cooled off. So, it's kind of interesting to see where they're going to go, because they definitely had them involved with the Riot Squad, and that kind of helped get them back on the same page. At least it seems that way currently. So
this whole storyline's been played out terribly. they're still not, you know, no one has still, you know, established themselves as a solid heel in it. But we've said it before. It just needs to end. I'm partially glad that it will not play out in any way in the Women's Money in the Bank match.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss is certainly a woman that you know, she would use the briefcase, quote unquote, correctly.
Oh yeah. The briefcase is at its best when it's held by a heel, especially a devious heel, who you know, it needs to utilize that as an advantage. She would certainly be a good pick, although she's been women's champion on both brands multiple times. She's pretty much been in the thick of things on both brands since the brand split itself. I think I saw something like this will be the first time since Money in the Bank will be the first time since December 2016 that she's in it, or maybe November 2016 or something crazy, some crazy number like that, where it'll be the first time that she will not be in a women's championship match at a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Like you said, like, I mean, she was champ over on SmackDown. Her and Charlotte got switched between brands, and Alexa's pretty much been on top of the Raw brand since then.
Indeed has.
So, yeah, it. That was the one reason I was thinking that she wouldn't win it, though.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like, she's just a multiple-time champion. It usually goes to someone like, Carmella, who needs to have their star made. They need to have that big moment of winning. Alexa Bliss does not fit the bill in that department.
No, she does not. She's already made, but she is a heel. I guess we can move over to SmackDown now, and since you already mentioned her name, Carmella had another entertaining but annoying segment that has been her trademark since becoming SmackDown Women's Champion, but she was interrupted by home country girl Paige, who introduced Carmella's next opponent at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Asuka. So this whole story is pretty much going as we suggested that it was going. Looks like it is going as we suggested it was going to go from pretty much the night Carmella won the title, with it being Asuka who ends up taking it from Carmella.
Yeah, and you know, then you have Asuka champ, Charlotte challenging it, I would assume, SummerSlam.
Yeah, absolutely the way to do it. I am hoping that they don't try to stretch it out with Asuka and Carmella. Just have Asuka win in as short of order as you can without completely killing Carmella. I think that's the way this needs to go. I do not want to see Carmella escape with the title and, you know, keep it for another month or anything of that sort. I think that, you know, yep. Carmella's had her little run, and it should come to an end at Money in the Bank.
Well, and they always have the mandatory rematch, and heels, heels are certainly more likely to throw out the card of, oh, not right now. Carmella can certainly do that and have it at the next pay-per-view.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So, no, but that was all well done. We already mentioned Becky Lynch qualifying for Money in the Bank, which then leads to the men's qualifier with a different type of qualifying match, with The New Day defeating Cesaro and Sheamus in a tag team Money in the Bank qualifying match, where one member of The New Day will now get to go into Money in the Bank, and I don't see why it wouldn't be Xavier Woods. He won the damn match.
And they, You know, I guess it's kind of interesting of all the things that I expected to happen when the New Day maybe start to go about business differently than as a three-man group. I was not expecting Xavier Woods to be the singles guy.
Yeah, but that's kind of been the story they've been telling for the last few weeks. He was in two singles matches. I think that will be likely be the story they try to tell here, that you know, he won the match, deserves the opportunity. He's but in the end, he'll be a guy in the match. I don't think he would have much chance of winning it, nor would Big E or Kofi for that matter.
But oh, they would be, right.
You know, someone to do some you know to take some bumps and do some dives, which would maybe suit Kofi Kingston better. But he's been in probably a dozen of these types of matches over the course of his career, so it's probably good to give Woods a chance to shine.
Yeah, and big men don't necessarily do bad in these types of matches. I always recall that Kane has been in a poop ton of ladder matches, especially the Money in the Bank variety.
Braun Strowman is already in it, and next week either Samoa Joe or Big Cass will qualify, who I imagine will be Big Cass. I mean, there'll be Samoa Joe, excuse me. So it's kind of your quotient for trying to put two big guys in this match. Plus, Kevin Owens isn't a small fry either. So yeah, it'd be good to get at least one more lighter guy in this thing.
Yeah.
That rolls up Big E.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, but I do like it. I mean, Xavier Woods has looked great the last few weeks. I mean, he has certainly justified the hype. I remember being a fan of his in TNA. It's kind of been a long time since then. And he's certainly grown a lot as far as in-ring quality goes. So, good on him. It, like you said, it's probably not going to lead to a bank a briefcase grabbing, but to be in the match is something of a badge of honor that should be worn properly. And I'm trying to think, did they have a second qualifying match there for the men?
No, they did not. They're going to wait a week.
So
Kurt Angle was very adamant that he had to get all of his men's qualifying matches out of the way last night. But apparently he could have waited a week, and Jinder Mahal was certainly screwed over there, right? By management there. Through no fault of his own.
I guess that could be, writing for both brands. I do think that it would be worth Jinder Mahal's time to point that out. Because the ladies also on SmackDown only had the one qualifying match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're definitely they're going to be stretching out the ladies of both Raw and SmackDown for another 2 weeks. They've both been doing only one a week. And next week, Billie Kay versus Lana. I guess WWE didn't get the memo that Peyton Royce is the better of the two. But hopefully it'll be short, and I guess of the two, I hope Billie Kay pulls it off. I think only Naomi might be the only woman left who hasn't had a qualifying match yet, but
yeah, she's been
I don't think there's anyone who hasn't already had a qualifying match left for him for the base, so maybe they'll do like a last chance five way or something like that, who knows.
Oh.
A small battle royal.
Yeah, there are definitely some options that they could go to there. Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But I'm glad they're stretching it out. Like, just having to determine them is kind of silly, in my opinion. I do think that Kurt Angle is a boob for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it certainly gives TV something to, you know, at least sound important about that there's some type of qualifying match.
Yeah. No, it's good. And I think that they've been doing a good job, you know, putting these qualifying matches on TV, you know, killing time with still a pretty good size gap between now and Money in the Bank. You know, there's enough interesting characters and a variety of workers in both matches so far that, you know, Money in the Bank should be fun. I think it will certainly be a better show than Backlash.
Well, yeah, and I do think it's rightfully called the number 5 pay-per-view these days. I was certainly excited when I was here in Columbus. Yeah, because like you said, whoever wins this, both men and women, likely you're seeing a new champion.
Yeah, and it could still happen that night too. So you got a lot of intrigue. Yeah. You know, ladder matches are exciting. The rest of the card looks good. Looks like it's going to be treated like a really big show. And which I guess would lead us to our final subject from SmackDown. AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura had yet another match tonight. This time a non-title match that did have a finish, with Nakamura getting his first pinfall win over AJ Styles in WWE, and thus he gets to name the stipulation for their maybe final match at Money in the Bank.
I did enjoy his very heelish maneuver of faking a shot to the testicles to distract the referee and to get AJ Styles to argue with him, considering the scope of their feud of who can hit who in the junk harder. It certainly worked. So, you know, and it's always better when the heel chooses the stipulation.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's plenty of stipulations to choose from. Once again, I mean, I thought they had a good match tonight. And I wouldn't say that any of their matches against each other have been good. The two previous matches obviously did not have good finishes. But they are getting at least one more opportunity to have that great match everyone thought they were going to have at WrestleMania.
yeah, I mean it was another good match, this one. But like you said, like it they haven't really approached maybe what a lot of people had, including myself, had in mind.
No, they really haven't. But you know, hopefully they will, you know, through Nakamura, of course, choose the 2-day stipulation that will play to both men's strengths, and they will once again they'll have a blowaway match at Money in the Bank, which once again has the potential to be an excellent card with everything, with that match on it, with the 2 Money in the Bank matches on it, Asuka and Carmella, which might not be a classic, but will hopefully have a fun match with a very, very satisfying conclusion, and then of course, you know, the intrigue and the what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I hate when I do that. Say, you know, never mind. But you know, Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey will certainly be a match that will get people talking. It will it will have a lot of eyes on it. You know, quality is certainly a question mark on it. Nia Jax is still one of the least experienced women on the roster. In some ways, she's still learning herself, despite being put in, you know, the top spot. Rousey will only be in her second televised match, by the way, though they are sneaking her onto some Matt is on the European tour to get at least a little experience in front of crowds against Mickie James, I believe. I believe that's, those are still on. But, you know, once again, what Rousey had proved at WrestleMania, that if you give her enough time to prepare and, you know, she's a good enough athlete and has enough charisma that she can work her way through it. So, you know, that match will certainly, you know, be, you know, a pretty big deal. And once again, so Money in the Bank definitely has my interest. And I promise next week I will really, really try to rein in the uses of the words interesting and interest. I know it's a vocal tick.
Welp, if you have any interest in the brand, it's at Frango11 or at Chris Calamita, and at Stunt Granny for almost all the wrestling stuffs. So go ahead, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever else you may listen to us, and have a good night.
Later.